This Advent season, we are once again following the events that lead to the stable in Bethlehem, the place where God's promised Messiah was born. And as I said a few weeks ago, to many it's an absurd story. How on earth did they end up there? What influenced the journey to bring them to that place? And over the last few weeks in our Advent meetings, we've been looking at what were the influences, what influenced that stable. Last week, Claire looked at the Gospel of Luke, which tells the story through the eyes of Mary, the joy of the girl who discovers she's been chosen to give birth miraculously to the Son of God. This week, I'm turning to the Gospel of Matthew. And Matthew's account is seen more through the eyes of Joseph. And I have to say, it's a much more sober account as this young man discovers that his wife is pregnant. Those of you that are married, that have been through the process of asking someone to marry them, can I just take a show of hands? Who did the chivalrous thing, gentlemen, and went to ask the future in-laws if you could have the hand of their daughter before you did it? Ah, well, chivalry's well and alive in here, isn't it, eh? I did. I decided that I was going to do the right thing, and I invited my in-laws, the Majors, to an evening meal, and I remember it very well, and it all went very, very well indeed until the coffee course, and I managed to knock over all three cups of coffee all over them. And at that point, I'd not actually told them why I'd got them to the place of eating. I've discovered as well that you folk around the West Midlands do some strange things when it comes to agreeing for your daughter to be given over to someone. I read this story of a man in Bromsgrove. Yes, yeah, dodgy. Jake Thompson lived in Bromsgrove, and a few years ago he went to ask his potential father-in-law, Stephen Bennett, for his daughter's hand in marriage. Hannah and Jake had been childhood sweethearts for years, and he thought it would be the easiest thing in the world. And when he approached the future potential father-in-law and said, "Could I please have the hand of your daughter in marriage?" Steve said, "Yes, but on one condition." And he said, "What's that?" He said, "You accompany me to the North Pole on a charity 10-day trek." Now, because they'd been childhood sweethearts and he was determined to marry the love of his life, he felt he had no choice but to agree. And that's exactly what they did. 2 days later, he went off with his future father-in-law and they skied and walked and trekked all the way to the 89th latitude. And there they reached the North Pole in temperatures of minus 50 degrees Celsius. I'm quite sure this young man from Bromsgrove was not expecting to have to do that trip as part of his pre-marriage arrangements. Here in our story, Joseph was a good lad. He's the kind of person, kind of lad that you'd quite happily let your daughter marry. Any father would have been happy if Joseph had approached and said, "Can I marry your daughter?" He might not have been wealthy, but he had a trade. And more than that, he was a righteous man. He was right with God. And according to the scripture, he was pledged to be married to Mary. Just to give you some idea of this whole idea of pledging in the scripture, we would probably use our English word of engaged to describe the relationship, but unfortunately, it doesn't adequately describe their actual relationship. Because the problem with the word engaged as we know it is that an engagement can be broken off informally. There's no need for any legal action. If you become engaged to somebody and decide later on you don't want it, it just ends, doesn't it? Well, that wasn't the same according to the custom of the day 2,000 years ago, because there were two stages that a couple had to go through as part of their marital process. In those days, marriages were arranged by the parents with or without the children's approval. And the two sets of parents would meet, draw up formal marriage contracts, and when the contract was signed, the man and the woman were legally pledged to each other. And so when you hear that word pledged in the gospel, that's what's happened. The contract has been signed. Now, the period of betrothal would last for up to a year. And at the end of that year, the couple were formally married in a public wedding ceremony. And at that point, the groom would take his wife home. And so marriage was a two-stage thing. And so you can see there's some major differences to our modern understanding of being engaged. In the first place, the pledge that was signed was considered as sacred as marriage. And so during that year, the couple were actually called husband and wife, except they didn't live together. If the man died during that year, then the woman was considered a widow and would fall under the Old Testament's widow regulations, even though the wedding ceremony had never taken place. And so the only way to break that legal betrothal was through a legal divorce. And so what we read here in Matthew chapter 1 is taking place between the two events. The contract's been signed between the parents, but the marriage ceremony has not yet happened. And as we read, it's now in jeopardy. You know, Joseph was a good lad, but even he couldn't cope with receiving this kind of news. Let's be frank, it makes a trek to the North Pole seem a bit easy, doesn't it, really? A stroll in the park compared. And so Joseph's reaction when he hears that Mary is pregnant is the good lad becomes a troubled lad. The good lad becomes a troubled lad. What does he do? Even though it doesn't tell us in the narrative, we can read between the lines, and he clearly suspects her of adultery. He was a righteous man. The law and the culture of the day would virtually say that Joseph had no alternative but to divorce her quietly. Now, in 2018, there's many ways you can get a divorce. But in those days, there was only two ways. First, he could go get a public divorce by going before a judge at the gate of the city. I mean, fancy doing that, an open court. Everybody sat there with their sandwiches, listening to the events, listening as you wash your dirty linen in public. Well, that was one way. But the problem with that is that would mean the whole town would know about Mary's shame. So the second way was that he could get a private divorce by giving her papers as long as it was in the presence of two witnesses. And in his mind, even though he clearly thinks she's been unfaithful, he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. That's what the gospel writer tells us. He didn't want to humiliate her, so the gates were gone, and instead he chose this quieter option. And then we pick up this part of the story in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 1. After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared. I'd love to know how long he was considering it all. It doesn't tell us. Did he hear the news, go home and sleep on it? Following morning, make his decision? Or was it more of a painful journey over a matter of days where he mulled it all through his mind? Did he hesitate? Did he wait? Did he think long and hard, day after day, pondering the matter? Well, whichever it was, there's one thing clear in this story, and this is the point I want to make to us this morning. It was quite clear that Joseph was a good lad, but he was a troubled lad, and he was a lad who was not at peace. He wasn't at peace. He was troubled. His peace was disturbed. And late at night, I can almost imagine him there in the room, staring at the ceiling in the blackness, wondering what on earth he had to do. And then as he slept, God spoke to him. Now, God often spoke to people in the dreams. And Joseph would have known that. He'd have known from his whole Old Testament history that God appeared to other people in dreams. So this appearance wouldn't have been necessarily strange to him. One thing he needed assurance. He had to know the truth. And God met him at his point of need. At exactly the right moment, he wanted to hear, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Take Mary home as your wife." That's what was said. And that's exactly what Joseph did. We're not told, but we guess that he married her quickly, which was against Jewish custom, but nevertheless, it fulfilled what was necessary. And in doing that, he protected her reputation. He was now a man at peace. And you know what he would become? He would become a stable influence that his new wife would need at this difficult time. I guess she never ever knew about his deliberations. That he kept all that to himself. Didn't share it with her. Because actually what he wanted to give her was stability. You know, Joseph's decision would be a significant influence on the journey to the stable. He was troubled. His peace was disturbed. And he needed to know that all was well. And God came and restored his peace. This morning, friends, I want to tell you that throughout history, God has sought to bring stability to his people by restoring their inner peace. Throughout history, God has sought to bring stability to his people by restoring their inner peace, giving them enough knowledge and understanding to keep them strong in the face of discord or stress. And you know what? The message of Advent is a message of peace. We wait and we long for God's perfect peace in the circumstances of our life. And God's peace is exactly that. His sustaining presence in our current circumstance. And God's peace enables us to navigate life when, in his mercy and grace, he meets us exactly where we are and he brings to us the truth of who we are, alongside the truth of who he is. And that's exactly what he did for Joseph. The journey to the stable was influenced by peace. And so this morning, we wait again for him who is peace. And I ask you just a simple question. How's your inner peace this day? How's your inner peace this day? Are you troubled like Joseph? Or do you know the peace that he knew after the visitation of the angel? Let's pray together. Dear God, through your Spirit you spoke to prophets. The people prayed and waited for a Messiah to come. And through your Spirit you spoke to Mary and Joseph, and they responded and waited for their child to be born. And through your Spirit, today you speak to each of us. And we ask that we will feel your presence and know your peace in our Advent waiting this year. Gracious God, grant that we may find peace as we prepare for our Lord's birth. May divisions in ourselves and in our families be peacefully restored. And may there be peace in our cities and in the countries of the world. Help us to see the paths of peace in our lives and give us the courage to follow them. And Lord, let us remember that you only are the giver of lasting peace and that you are always with us. So come and bless us with your peace, we ask. Amen. Amen.